Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Nun Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zechanish Maslipa, Gabriela Bashmuel. We are Nun Alpha Mud Beis. We are in the world of Tum and Tahara. The Mishnah and Memtesa Mud Beis gave us a list of exposure to Tumas Meis, where if a Nazir comes into contact with this form, with these forms of Tumah, so then he has to start his Nazirus all over again. The Mishnah Nazir, we did this already once before, but it's, you can't understate how important it is just to know the basics of Tumah Tahara, A, to know the Mishnah, but more fundamentally, I should have said B and A, B, to know the Mishnah, but A, more fundamentally, because we need to know Torah, and part of Torah is the world of Tumah Tahara. So, but the Mishnah over here, if you take a look at the Mishnah here on Mem Testament Beis, and you look back in Olos, we did this together a couple days ago. In the second parak of Olos, the first Mishnah, so really it's nearly identical to one another, the Mishnah here and the Mishnah in Olos, in terms of describing what exactly is going to give off to us, Meis. Yesterday, we went through a number of discussions regarding Rekev. Rekev is one of the things listed in the Mishnah, where if you have a body and there's no admixture, there's nothing else in the body, as the body decomposes and basically is reduced to dust, totally dehydrates and reduced to dust, so that a spoonful of dust is going to give off Tumas Ohel. Okay, it's a special halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and that's Rekev. And yesterday we discussed at length and in great detail, and the Gemara really left I cannot think of what the Gemara left unexplored in the avenues of Rekev in terms of when exactly is it going to give off Tumah. We learned yesterday, and so we're going to start again right in the middle of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Tani Ula Bar Chanina. It's right in the middle of the Amud, right after the word Teku. First word in the line is Chanina. So the Gemara here starts off by quoting a Braisa. Mesha Chaser Ein Lo Rekev. So number one, says the Mishnah. We did this yesterday, but just this is we got stuck in the middle of a point. So if, let's say, the person dies and the remains is not a full intact human body, but a limb is missing. So Ein Lo Rekev, it doesn't have the halacha of Rekev, meaning when it disintegrates and when it gets reduced to dust, that dust is not going to give off Tumah, because the only Rekev that gives off Tumah is only if it is a disintegrated dust of an entire body. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, Lo Tfusa, and also there's no special halacha of Tfusa. The halacha of Tfusa, we went through Tosus yesterday. Tosus describes that Tfusa is that if for whatever reason we're going to have to undig a body from the ground and reinter it into another area, okay, then there are reasons why that would happen. But if we were to do that, so we would have to take 3 inches of the dirt that surrounds the body. Okay, this is a halach of tfusa, but this special halach of tfusa only applies if the body was buried intact and whole. And finally, the third halach is shchunas kvar. Shchunas kvaros means that if I come across 3 bodies buried in the ground, and the configuration is such that it is a Jewish burial site, so therefore it now becomes a Jewish burial site. And Tosus on this third point, we went over this yesterday, but he really struggles on this third point of the Braisa, because what we're learning now is that it only will be given a status of a burial site if only all 3 bodies are perfectly intact. And Tosus really struggles. He says it's hard to understand that, meaning if there's a specific configuration to how Jews bury their dead, and this conforms to the configuration, what difference should it make if there's a limb missing or there's not a limb missing? People die without limbs. People lose limbs. So it's hard to understand. Tosus at the end suggests that maybe halach l'moshe misinai. All right, anyway. Makes me. After learning that, we move on now in the Gemara, and we challenge. Lo imamart b'meis. Now this is a Mishnah Adios. Now the Mishnah Adios brings about a debate regarding the status of a kezias of flesh coming off of a live person. Okay, so in other words, so there was an amputation, and now there is a kezias, but it's from a live person. So lo mimard b'meishesh lo rekev v'rav omelo tarvad rekev. So I'm sorry. So before we get to the point of the Mishnah Adios, so the debate whether or not such a kezias of flesh would give off tumor or would it not give off tumor. And to which they start comparing, well, you know, kezias off of a dead body is going to give off tumor, so kezias off of a live body should also give tumor. That's the give and take in the Mishnah Adios, the background. And then the Mishnah Adios says, you cannot compare. Don't compare something coming off of a live body versus something coming off of a dead body. Lo, ima mart b'meisheish lo. Because when it comes to human remains of a dead body, so there's so many chumras that you don't have by a live person. You have the halachas of rov, virova, omlotarva, rekev. You have the halachas of the majority of bones, rova, a quarter of a kav of bones, melotarvid rekev, a spoonful of the disintegrated dust. So tamar bechai she'elo, and as opposed to even if you have these things coming off of a live person, they don't have these halachas. They don't have rov, they don't have rova, they don't have melotarvid rekev. They don't have these halachas. Okay, period. That's the Mishnah Nedios. So the Mishnah Nedios' basic point is you cannot compare limbs coming off of a live person versus limbs coming off of a dead person. Good. But meanwhile, it seems pretty clear from the Mishnah in Nedios the following. Hei chidami. The irkav chad ever. So we're now trying to describe rekav off of a live person. Now how is that? So it must be that if for the person to be alive, it must be that he must have lost a limb, one of his extremities came off, and it disintegrated. And the point the Mishnah is making is, well, that's not going to give off Melo Tarvad Rekev, that's not going to give off the special Tumah of Rekev, because it's coming off of a live person. But what does that mean? It therefore must mean that if I took that scenario and then moved it now to a dead person, to human remains, so then we would have the halacha of rekev. So, the kavaseg abe mace. So, if we take now that same scenario and we move it to a mace, what are we going to find? Afilu chad ever ika rekev. That even if I have just one limb, and it disintegrates and it turns into dust, it will have the halacha of rekev. That's what the Mishnah Nedios sounds like. Now, if that's what the Mishnah Nedios sounds like, that goes against what we just got done learning. We just got done learning that rekev is only if it's the disintegrated dust of an entire human body. So mikitani hames hakamashman shum meis yeshlo rekev shum chai enlo rekev. So the Gemara says you really missed the point of the Mishnah Nedios. The Mishnah Nedios wasn't telling us that they're exact parallels with one another. The only point the Mishnah Nedios was making is, hey, you can't compare. There is no halacha of rekev as it relates to a person who is alive, and there is a halacha of rekev as it relates to someone who's dead. So in other words, that's the only point the Mishnah was making. The Mishnah wasn't saying that there are parallel cases to one another. All the Mishnah meant was, there's just simply no halacha of rekev as it relates to a live person. Period. Okay. By Rav Hirkev Kishu Chai, V'chazru Ameis Mahu. So, Gemara now, again, just really testing the waters of probing into these halachas of rekev. Let's say a limb falls off of the person while he's alive, and that limb disintegrates. Now, as we just pointed out, there's no halacha of rekev for a person who's alive. But then he dies, the rest of him dies, he dies, and the rest of his body now catches up with the limb that was detached. And the rest of his body now disintegrates. And so the question on the table now is that although the limb that was detached from him while he was alive for sure does not have the halacha of rekev, but if and when he dies and the rest of his body disintegrates, do the combined dust form rekev? That's the question. So ki gemir rekev dirkev kishu meso duma hashemia hamayis. The question is, says the Gemara, well look, on one hand, you have now a collection of the dust of the entire person. On the other hand, the arm that was detached while he was alive, that didn't disintegrate while he was dead. That disintegrated while he was alive. So the Gemara says, Tashma lo imamad b'me sheishlo rova v'rova. I'm sorry, sheishlo rova v'rova malay tavad rekev, tomer b'chai, etc., etc. So then we turn to the Mishnah Nedios again. And again, the Gemara is thinking now that the Mishnah Nedios, we can make a diuk. What's the diuk in the Mishnah? Taima mishim chai. When the limb falls off of him while he's alive. So the Mishnah Nedios says, that's not going to give off tumas rekev, even after it disintegrates, because he's alive. It sounds like from the Mishnah, but after he dies, and after the rest of him disintegrates, oh, then there is going to be tumas rekev. To which the Gemara says, hameis yeshlo rekev, mikitani, and the Gemara immediately rejects this diuk as well. Mikitani hameis, ha kamashmalan deshum meis yeshlo rekev shum chai ein lo rekev. And again, the Gemara basically makes the same point. You misunderstood the Mishnah and Nedios. The Mishnah and Nedios is just there to inform us. It's just there to tell us that when it comes to a person who's alive, there's no concept of rekev. When there's a person's dead, there is a concept of rekev. That's the only point the Mishnah Nedios was making. And don't draw comparisons or parallels between the limb that's detached and the rest of him that dies. That's not the purpose and the point of the Mishnah over there. Okay, we are going to basically put a period over here in the Gemara. This really is where it should have gone to yesterday. That's the end of the discussion in the Gemara regarding Rekev. Okay, a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that once a body disintegrates and becomes dust, and you have a spoonful of that dust, it's going to give off tumas meis, and more than that, tumas meis ohel, meaning it's going to transmit the tumah through ohel, and really daf nun aleph, yesterday's daf, which we just finished, is really an exploration of what extent is this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai going to work. It's, as we pointed out yesterday, it's, huh? Yeah.
Can we read in reality, today,
right, once it's disintegrated, it's not going to give off tumas ohel rekev, because we bury with tachrichin, we bury in wooden caskets, meaning like the Gemara said yesterday. In other words, anytime you have anything mixed in, that makes a combination, it's the Gemara's terminology, it's going to be megalgel, which means that it's going to block the tumas rekev. So in reality, we're not going to have it. We're not going to have tumas rekev. By Rava. Okay. Gemara, this little Gemara coming up right now, a little, meaning it's a little sugya in the Gemara. It's kind of fun. It's not clear what it's doing here, but anyway, it's a great discussion, and the discussion that we're going to have for the next couple of minutes is grounded in the following piece of information. Okay, like we've said many times, in order to be subject to malchus, so there has to be kazayis. In other words, you have to have a requisite amount. If we're talking about a food, eating a non-kosher food, so you have to eat a requisite amount, and that requisite amount is a kazayis. Okay. There are a couple of exceptions here and there, but that's the basic halacha. If you eat a kazayis and you do so intentionally, and you have witnesses, and they warn you, and they say, don't do that, and you say, afal pi ken, yeah, I know you're warning me, I don't care. Today I'm interested in eating this, and you eat a kazayis of it, so then you're subject to malchus. Okay, the ground rules. The Mishnah and Makos teaches us the following. You know, the Torah tells us not to eat small insects, bugs, and any small insects. Some grasshoppers are okay, but outside of that, no, nothing. No, we're not allowed to eat anything from the insect world. It's a lav min haTorah. Okay, and the Mishnah and Makos tells us that there's a halacha called birya. The halacha of birya is that let's say for example, you eat a little bug. It's not a kazayis. A kazayis is a volume of an aleph. So you eat a little bug, so it's not a kazayis. So there is a halacha, which is that it's a whole entity, it's a bug, and therefore you're going to be subject to malchus. So to be more honest, it's not going to be one set of malchus. There are numerous psukim that prohibit it, so sometimes it's three, four, sometimes five sets of malchus. So it's a serious issue in the Torah to eat a bug. But the halacha that we're focusing on is that even though the bug is much smaller than that of a kazayis, you're going to get malchus, okay? Because of this concept of birya. Okay, all the lettuce checking that we do, all the checking of fruits and vegetables that we do is because exactly this point. Meaning, when it comes to bugs, even though it's small, as long as it's visible to the naked eye, so it's you're going to be subject to malchus for eating it intentionally. Okay, by Rava. Namala shechasra mahu shiura. I'm sorry, mahu. So now the Gemara here asks, just from an analysis standpoint, a brilliant question. Let's say you eat an ant, but the ant is missing a leg. Okay, in other words, you pull off one leg of the ant, so now it was already started off as being less than a kazayis, right? It's a small little ant. But now, the question the Gemara is going to have now is that now that you pulled off a leg, is it even a birya? Now, for sure, the Gemara is not advocating, the Gemara is not condoning, the Gemara is not even, not for a moment is the Gemara saying it must be okay. It's not. You're eating an ant. The Torah says you're not allowed to. We're talking right now, the discussion is, are you going to be subject to malchus because you ate an entire ant minus one leg of the ant? A leg or an antenna? Right, a small but insignificant part of the ant. The ant's going to go on living just fine. So that's the question. And here the Gemara encapsulates the question so brilliantly. The Gemara says, "Mahu shiura gemirin la v'hachaser ubirya gemirin la v'haika." The Gemara says what really this touches on is how to understand the halacha of birya. On one hand, and you see that you could see this almost super clearly from the bottom Tosfos on the Amud. On one hand, you could say the following: in general, when it comes to a food, how much you have to eat a kazayis. When it comes to a small little bug, So the shear is a birya, meaning you need a whole bug. But it's a shear, meaning all we're doing is we're translating. Here's a shear for food in general, which is a kazayas, but for a bug, it's a new shear. But it's a shear. You need a requisite amount. And that requisite amount is the entire animal or the entire bug. Once it's missing a leg, so now it doesn't have the shear. So look at the Bam Tosos. Spells it out. Klummer.
It's most of the bug. It's like we have, you know.
I understand that. But once we're in the world of shiurim, shiurim means most of a kazayas is not enough. When you're eating a kazayas, it has to be a full kazayas. So when you're eating a bug, one side of the Gemara's question is, it's got to be the whole bug. Anything less than that is less than a shear. Yes, we have a concept of rov. But when it comes to shiurim, that's exactly the point. That's the threshold to get malchus. So when it comes to a bug, the entire bug is the threshold to get malchus. Bottom tosos. It's one line. But just, it's great. Klummer. Shlema bibirya. Vahachasera. And so tosos says so succinctly, look, the idea is that birya has to be whole. Anything less than that, and it's chaser. Just like if you had a kazayas minus just any amount. It's not a kazayas. So that's one side of the Gemara's question. On the other hand, Odilma, all right, back to Tosfos, Birya Gemirila, Vahavile Sheretz, Hova Adain Ru'uyalachios. Or no, Birya is not a shear. Birya is a concept that, you know what, the bug's alive. And because the bug is alive, it's significant. And therefore, you're going to be subject to Malchus. You pull off a leg off that little thing. Just an antenna. It's fine. Meaning it's fine. It's still alive. It still has chiyus. It's still going to be alive. It'll walk around. It's doing great. Right? It may be a little slower to walk around. But it's fine. And so maybe now the Gemara is considering it still is a birya, and you'll still be subject to malchus. So basically, for now we could say it one more time, really what's the halacha of birya? Is birya just basically a translation of shear? Normally the shear for food is a kazayas, but for bugs, which are significantly smaller, the shear gets modified, but it's a shear. And anytime you're missing any amount of that, you're not subject to malchus. Or no. Birya is not a shear, it's a definition of life. As long as that little bug is alive, so you're gonna be subject to malchus if you eat the bug. If it's missing a leg, it's still gonna be alive. And it's not gonna affect its life force. Its life force is still gonna be intact, and therefore you're still gonna be subject to malchus. So that's the Gemara's question over here. Again, what's it doing here right now?
Can't you use the same argument for a human being that's missing a limb?
Well, I guess that's why Gemara brings it up right now.
Right.
But they're two different topics. Meaning, previously we were talking about Tumah Tahara. Now we're talking about Isra Achila. You're not to eat the bug if it's. Although the Gemara is going to compare the halachas, right? My point to you is not so strong, as you'll see in just a moment. The Gemara is going to compare the halachas of Achila and the halachas of Tumah Tahara. But right now, the Gemara, this question is really within the world of Achila. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Midiskrata Tashma. So to this question, the Gemara now is going to analyze, and we're going to learn together a Braisa. We're now on the top of Nunbeza Med Aleph, and the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Bahem. There are eight shratzim, there are eight various bugs, insects, where they're going to give off tuma once they're dead. Right? The Torah... The Torah Parshat Sav enumerates the eight bugs. We're perfectly not sure the definition of the eight bugs, but just right now, all we need to know is that eight bugs were, once they're dead, they give off tuma. This is what we refer to as tuma shratzim. Now, tuma shratzim, the only way that it contracts tuma, the only way it communicates tuma is only through maga, only through contact. Okay. However, with all that stated, the Torah is not perfectly clear in terms of whether you need the whole remains of the Shmona Shratzim or just part of it. And the Torah is a little ambiguous. And here the Gemara is going to quote both Psukim. One Pasuk says, Bahem, if you touch it. Now the word Bahem seems to imply all of it. On the other hand, Yachal Bekulon Tamalamar, Mayhem. On the other hand, the Torah also, in another pasuk in the same area, mentions that if you touch mayhem, mayhem means even if you touch some of it. So now, which one is it? Is it bahim or is it mayhem? So e mayhem yachal miksal sometam alomar bahim haketzad. So the Torah is ambiguous. How do we resolve the ambiguity? Ashiyiga be miksasan shehu kekulan. as long as you touch part of it, but that part of it is like all of it. What does that mean? Shi'aru chachamim. The chachamim basically investigated the matter. Beche adasha. And here's the basic halacha, which is that if you touch the remains of one of the eight shrats mentioned in the Torah, as long as you touch the size of an adasha, a lentil bean, one lentil bean, meaning a volume of that sheretz, equivalent to one lentil bean, so you're going to be tummy. How do they get to that shear? Shikain. Because of the eight shrats, they looked at the smallest of the eight, which is the chomet. And again, I can only guess what it is. Again, some bug, some sort of creepy object, creepy crawly object. So it's a chomet. So how does he give a trans?
She says type of snail.
Snail. Okay. So it's a chomet. So shekena chomet tchila briaso becha adasha. Upon its formation, meaning at its early stage of life, it is the size of an adasha. And therefore the Chachamim said, that's how we're going to resolve the ambiguity. Because we looked at the eight, we looked at the smallest, and not only did we look at the smallest, but we looked at its small stage of development. And at its early stage of development, meaning when it's the live birth? Eggs. Okay. Anyway, at its early stage of development, it is the size of an adasha. And so if you were to touch an adasha's volume of any one of the eight shratzim, meaning even if the whole thing's not intact, but you have a little bit of it, it's got to be dead to give off tumah. If you touch it and it is the volume of an adasha, so therefore you're going to be tummy.
So it's really amazing. You're more machmir by a
sheretz
than with a human being.
Well, a human being of the shear is a kezais, right? So I saw. I don't know how to give proper attribution because I don't remember. I saw that the shear is a kezais. A shear is a shear, but I saw that one of the Rishonim say. Oh, please forgive me. I don't remember who. But one of the Rishonim say that one of the reasons why the shear is a kezais is because that is the smallest stage of the baby in its development. So it's a similar idea to what we're seeing right now. Okay, but again, I'd much prefer if I remember where that was. But so bechadasha shmamina shiuro gemirilam. So from this discussion, what does it sound like? It sounds like that we're basically talking about shiurim, meaning that we're looking for the smallest size. So the chachamim measured. Well, if we're talking about measurement, it sounds like shear. So when we're talking, now let's go back to the namala, let's go back to the ant. So if it's missing a leg, it doesn't have the shear. The shear is an entire ant. Once it's missing a leg, it doesn't have a shear. Amar Shmaya, so Rashmaya says, no, your analysis over here is not correct. But rather, ki be'ina shiura dibadalo havye ka'adasha lamitame dalo nafla banishama. Aval nafla banishama loti bailach. Rav Shmaya says, look, the analysis is not right. Yes, the Chachamim came up with a shear, but the shear that they were looking for was the shear of life. Meaning, what is a small sheretz that is self-sustaining, that has a life force? So they looked at the eight shrats, and they looked at the smallest, in its initial stage of development, and they found that the lentil size is the smallest. But what they were really looking for was the shear for life force. When can the smallest sheretz and the smallest development of the small sheretz have that life force? And what they found was the chomet, at its early stage of development, is the size of a lentil. But that doesn't mean it's a shear. It simply means now it can sustain, now it can live. That becomes now the shear. But not because it's a shear, but because it's a small stage of life. So now when we go back to the question of the namala and the eating of the ant, if it's missing a leg, it's still going to live, and therefore you're still going to be subject to malchus. So the Gemara ends the discussion. The Gemara is not poshet. The Gemara doesn't resolve what if you were to eat an ant missing a leg. And so in general, I mean, we don't eat, we avoid bugs that to the best of our ability. But in terms of the halacha of do you get malchus if you eat an ant minus one leg, so the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Shedja v'elgogolos. Okay, and this is now going to begin the remainder of today's daf, and we're moving along in the Mishnah on daf Memtes. Again, the back, I really didn't even mean to say that, but okay, I'm saying it. The backbone of the entire discussion. Sorry. That was, you know, unintended, and but I went through with it anyway. The backbone of the entire discussion is the Mishnah Mem Tesem and Beis. The Mishnah Mem Tesem and Beis talks about what part of human remains is going to give off to Mas Ohel. We need to know this here in Masechta Nazir, because the Nazir, when coming into contact with this, is going to have to start his Nazirus again. So the Mishnah over here lists, and we went through now, systematically, every case in the Mishnah, not everyone, but step by step. So far, I'm just looking back at the Mishnah Mem Tesem Amud Beis. So we went over mace, kezayis min mace, kezayis netzel, that's the gelatinous decomposition of the flesh, melot arvid rekav, that's the dust, that was yesterday's daf, min mace, the al kezayis, sorry, melot arvid rekav, al hashedra ve al hagugolis. And now we're talking about the skull and the spinal column. Now, again, just to remind each other, we're talking about tumas ohel, meaning if it's maga umasa, if it's contact or if it's carrying, so there, all you need is etzem kisaora, just a bone chip. And that's going to give off tumas maga masa, but we're not talking about maga masa right now. We're talking about tumas ohel, the transmission of tuma through being under the same roof or forming a roof over. So kezayis min hameis, meaning you need either a kezayis of flesh or you need bone, but not a bone chip. You need a significant amount of bone, which is articulated in many different ways. Right now, our focus today is going to be on the vertebrae and the skull.
So less than the kezayis of bone, you become
Oh, through maga masa,
yeah.
Through contact or through carrying. A bone chip is right. All you need is the size of a saora, one barley corn.
And that is more makhia
than a chip. Right. Is that smaller than a dasha? I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, the question that we're going to ask today is a really simple, basic, fundamental question. You need, the Mishnah says, the skull and the vertebrae. What's the conjunction that should be put between those two words? Is it the skull and the vertebrae? Or is it the skull or the vertebrae? Simple. It's a really easy question, which as we're going to spend the rest of today's daf trying to resolve what should be the proper conjunction connecting skull, vertebrae. Skull and, skull or. I will point out, And we did this already, but it's so noteworthy. The Mishnah here in Nazir, the simple reading of the Mishnah in Nazir seems to be that the correct conjunction is or. Why? Because if you look at the Mishnah reads, Al HaShedra V'Al HaGugolas. Sounds, the simple reading of the Mishnah is, it's either the vertebrae or it's the skull. Because it says Al HaShedra V'Al HaGugolas. To be fair, the Mishnah in Olos, and we did this already, but it bears reviewing. The Mishnah in Olos says Hashedra v'Hagugolas, and that's much more ambiguous. The vav used in the Mishnah can either mean and or. The Mishnah in Olos doesn't use the word al, so this question really can be influenced by what's the correct girsa of the Mishnah, the girsa that we have here in Nazir. Or the Mishnah Olos. And again, just one more point, I don't want to belabor this, but if you look at the heading of our Gemara right now, as we're about to start, when the Gemara quotes, the Gemara doesn't quote the Mishnah, Al HaShedra V'Al HaGugolas, but actually it just simply says, HaShedra V'Al HaGugolas. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Is our Gemara right now quoting our Mishnah here in Nazir? Doesn't seem that way. Sounds like our Gemara is quoting the Mishnah as it's mentioned in Olos. Okay. Ibai Lahu. Shedra vilgugolas tanan, o dilma, o shedra, o gugolas. So that's the unclarity. Do I need both in order to give off to Mas Ohel? Or is either going to give off to Mas Ohel? Amarava, Tashma. So here we go. The rest of today's daf. A series of Mishnayos and Braisos throughout Shas to try to resolve this issue. So number one, Shedra shegira rov ila in Shabbat Tahora. In order for the vertebrae to give off Tumas Ohel, the vertebrae still has to be connected with the ribs. It's not enough to just simply have the spinal column, the vertebrae, but you also need the connecting ribs. 12 ribs connected to the vertebrae, obviously on each side, on each flank. So you need a majority. And the Gemara here is not clear as to whether or not I need a majority on both sides, on both sides of the column, but the Bryce over here says very clearly, it's the Tosefta, that you need the ribs as well, the majority of the ribs.
But there are some that are not connected to ribs at all, like cervical ones.
So I'm... Again, just expressing my.
It doesn't count.
Correct. I was wondering the same thing, right? So
that's how you get to 18.
Right. That we were discussing whether or not the cervical is it just the thoracic or is it also the cervical as well? I'm not sure. Okay. So uvekever afilu mishuberto miferekis tamea mimnea kever. However, even within this halacha that the vertebrae have to be connected to the ribs, that if it's outside of the kever. Once the vertebrae and ribs are in the kever, it's a special halach l'moshe m'sinai, that even the vertebrae and the ribs, once in the kever, even if disconnected from one another, are going to give off tumas ohal. The kever somehow connects the two. Not physically, obviously, but halachically connect the two. Okay. Period. That's the braisa. From this discussion, what does it sound like? It sounds like that the only thing that we're really focusing on is the vertebrae. Doesn't seem that way. It's true. The only thing this Bryce is focusing is on the vertebrae. It sounds like from the Bryce that the vertebrae, without the skull, but as long as either the ribs are connected or the ribs are disconnected, but in a kever, the vertebrae is going to give off tumas ohel. That's what it sounds like. Time mishum digarir halo garu tami shma minahu shezro gogolus ketani. So the Gemara just makes that very simple diak. The vertebrae by itself is going to give off tuma. Again, assuming that either it's connected to the ribs or the ribs and the vertebrae are in the kever. Fine. So the Gemara says halo ketani. And again, the Gemara says, you're going too far with your diuk. Not necessarily. It could very well be that this braisa requires vertebrae and a skull. It just happens to be that within the vertebrae, there's further another defining point about the vertebrae, and that is the vertebrae has to be connected to ribs. That's all. But The starting assumption is it has to be the vertebrae together with the skull. We're just analyzing the vertebrae and the requirement of a vertebrae being called a vertebrae in terms of tumas ohel. Tashma, the Gemara now is going to quote another braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shishat Varm Rabbi Kiva Matame V'Chachamim Matarin. There are six things where Rabbi Kiva says it's tame and the Chachamim say it's tower. V'Chazer Bo Rabbi Kiva. And on these six issues, because there's more than six issues that Rabbi Kiva argues, but on these six issues, which, by the way, we're going to enumerate later this morning, on these six issues, Rabbi Kiva ends up being chozer. He retracts his position. And there was an incident where a box of bones were brought to a shul of copper workers, but they didn't put the bones directly under the roof, because had the bones be put directly under the roof, now the entire shul would be tame and no kohen would be able to go to shul. So they put it, maybe there was some sort of atrium or gazebo or whatever the case is. They put the box of bones directly under the sky, not under the roof, so it wouldn't give off tumas ohel. And in comes the doctor, Tudus, who's mentioned a couple times throughout Shas, together with other doctors. And after analysis of the vertebrae, what did they say? So the doctor said that these vertebrae are not coming from one person, but rather it's a composite of vertebrae remains of different people. And this was one of the contentious points between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in terms of, you do have the vertebrae, but not from one person. So, and it's the correct number of vertebrae. It just happens to be that it's made up of remains of two different people. Is that going to give off tumah, yes or no? Rabbi Akiva's position was in his, throughout most of his life, it's going to be tumah. It's going to give off tumah soha. And the Chachamim said no. And this is one of the issues where Rabbi Akiva ends up at the end of his life retracting. And by the way, Tosos over here, he quotes a sifrei, or basically just a little bit more to the story. See Tosus Maisa Shiviu Kupa Maleatzamos, the basic Knesset Shal Tarsim. So Tosus over here writes, I'm skipping. So uveperish mashnayos matzasi. It's two lines before the lines get very wide. Da'achis abitzifrei amrohov yeshkam mitarim mitamim namu leminyan. So on this box of bones where they had the vertebrae, and again the doctors came in. The doctor said it's not coming from one person. So now they knew that this was a point of contention. So they basically want to take this to a vote. And Pirish, Lemingin, Pirish Rabbi Akiva, Vachachamim, Shenechluku, Beshedra, Vagogolos, Haba Mishne Mason, Vasamach Maisilah, and Tosus points out that we're going to see it in just a moment, of Mesechus Olos, Perak Beis, Namitin, and Plutayu, and also, again, second Perak of Olos, right? It's like if you know, your homework tonight, as it was last night, is to go over the second Perak of Olos. So, okay, this one I happen to have been doing, so just, so I'm, you know, slightly more informed. His Chilo, Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, Tosus quotes that they started with Rabbi Akiva, and they knew what his vote was going to be, or at least they thought they did. They thought that he was going to vote Tame, because that was his position throughout most of his life. Tchila v'ti her, and Rabbi Akiva said, "Oh, it comes from two different people. It's Tahor." And they looked around; they were like shocked. What? That's what? Yeah, that's your vote. We thought you were going to say Tame. Amru lo hove ata hu shayisa mitame tiharta. You tell him. And so like that first vote, Rabbi Akiva like shocked them. Like, you were the one who was going, we thought you were going to say Tame, you said Tahor. You know what? We're done. Right? The halach is Tahor. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Again, the question, it's one question that we're asking today. Is it Shedra and Gugolis, or is it Shedra or Gugolis? So Tame, the like a Shedra de Mechada Haika, O Shedra Gugolis de Mechada, Nazim Megala Echala Shmamina. So again, the deal is very simple. This box of bones had only vertebrae, and they were, and the only question was, is a vertebrae coming from one person or from two different people? If it comes from one person, Tumasoel. If it comes from two different people, Machlokus, which ended up not becoming a Machlokus, and everyone ended up saying Tahor. But if it came from one person, it's Tame. Oh, okay, good. So that seems to resolve the issue. So Shmamino, Shedro Gogolos Tanan. That's what it sounds like. Lomi by Kamar. So again, the Gemara deflects. And the Gemara says, not necessarily. It could very well be. Lomi by Shedra v'gugolos mi meisechad leka ela afilu. O Shedra mi meisechad, o gugolos mi meisechad leka. So the Gemara says, no. Again, it could very well be that they were, the conversation they were having was theoretical, was abstract. Because the truth of the matter is that there's no tuma because you don't have both vertebrae and skull. But even if, like in other words, it was like an abstract discussion they were having. Even if it was, even if the vertebrae by itself were giving off tumma, which it doesn't. But even if that were true, well, is it coming off of one person or two people? And then they had the doctors come in. The doctors looked in, and the doctors said, "No, it's coming from two different people." So it doesn't give off tumma. But that whole discussion really exists in the abstract, because in order for tumma to give off tumma, in order for these bones to give off tumma, so well, you need vertebrae plus a skull, and you didn't even have that. But they were having kind of more of a theoretical discussion. Tashma miminyana. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's consider the following. We're going to now learn the Mishnah, in which, actually, the Gemara is going to quote the Braisa, but the Mishnah in which these are the six items where Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim were arguing about. And again, the point's going to be, Rabbi Akiva retracted. But here, in order to understand the proof of the Gemara, all we have to do is just keep score. So let's keep count.
So why did the Nazir have to shave? Because
he didn't. He didn't. The ruling was he didn't. No. That was the Gemara's attempt to prove it. The Gemara says, "Ha, the mechada ha ika osha jo gogol se mechada nazi megalechala." So that was the Gemara's attempt to prove. You see, if it would have came from one, then the nazi would have been megalech. And the Gemara's answer was, no. They weren't having a practical discussion. They were having a theoretical discussion. Okay, shisha dvarim she Rabbi Kiva matamim chachamim matarim. Okay, six things where Rabbi Kiva says tameh, chachamim say tahor. Let's just keep score. Number one, you have a limb coming off of a dead body, but this limb is actually composite coming from two different people. I know it's strange, but again, the point's basically going to be the same time and again. It's one limb but made up from two different people. So that's one. Al Eiver Menachai Shabbat Mishnei B'nei Adam. The second case is almost identical. It's one limb coming from two different live people. Okay. Al Chatzi Kavatzama Shabbat Mishnei Mesim. I have a box of bones. The volume of it is a chatzi kav. Now remember, I just say this very quickly. The Mishnah here in Nazir says chatzi kav. The Mishnah Ola says rova kav. And because this is an area where the halach of Tumas Meis is not the same for a Nazir as it relates as it is for just general Tumas Meis. And I don't want to get okay. I shouldn't have said anything. Anyway, let's just keep score. That's number three. So again, it's a box of bones, but. And it is a shear, but it comes from two different, the remains of two different people. Al Revi is Dami, Haba Mishnayim. Okay, number four. Number four is a Revius of blood that comes from two different people, remains of two different people. Number five, Al Etzem Kesar Shenechlak Mishnayim. A bone chip. Now, by the way, as we're talking about bone chips right now, so this is not too much, this is Magomasa. But still, it's a bone chip that divided into two. And finally, Shedra Vilgugolis. That's six. Now, that's important. Meaning Shedra Vilgugolis is the sixth topic in which they're debating. So now, the Gemara asks them, we'll state the question, and tomorrow we're going to go through the answers. So, V'isa Gedacho Shedra Vilgugolis Hani Shiva Havyan. So, so if Shedra and Gogolis are independent of one another, so then now in terms of keeping score, so that should be the sixth and seventh topic in which the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva disagree. It must be Shedra and Gogolis is one inyan, and I need both the skull and the vertebrae in order to give off Tumas Ohel. Otherwise, we lost count. Because the number, that should have been the sixth category, and if it's two separate entities, then it should be number six and seven. Tomorrow we'll start with the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's going to give four answers to this question, and still support the idea that it could be Oshej or Gogolas. Tomorrow we conclude this topic of, is it skull and vertebrae, is it skull or vertebrae? And we'll talk halacha as well. I'll tell you how this all resolves.